nation's president over the next 4 years. Calculating vote totals, playing out various what-if scenarios, and mapping out red versus blue states well past midnight. The scenario doesn't end over the next days, and you find yourself consumed with news feeds, discussions among friends and families, and perhaps even questioning why in the hell are there no answers. If this sounds familiar, you're certainly not alone and are among millions of other Americans who find the 2020 election has left a wake of stress and anxiety. While election stress disorder is not a medical diagnosis, the concept is real and has both direct and indirect implications affecting our work-life balances. More than two-thirds, approximately 68% of American adults, say the 2020 U.S. presidential election is a significant source of stress in their lives, according to a recent survey by the American Psychological Association. Compounding this sense of worry is the propagation of gloom and doom upon the masses by the media. Between television and especially social media, we simply cannot escape its ever-reaching grasp in our lives. The constant bombardment of alerts and updates comes at us like a belt-fed machine gun, hitting us round after round after round. And let's not forget how divisively polar people can be in pushing their political beliefs upon others to the point of reaching a level of anger and aggression. It's fine to disagree, but some people simply cannot grasp and come to terms with those who disagree with their political ideations and beliefs. The rage, hostility, and even belligerence they exhibit only adds to the emotional discourse many are already experiencing and dealing with. Mentally, we become drained, which can transcend into impacting us physically as well. Tense muscles and upset stomachs may seem benign at first, but can manifest into more pronounced ailments. Life in 2020 has been hard and stressful enough. Adding a presidential election to cap it off seems pretty appropriate, considering how the year has gone. But instead of letting it control you, it's time to do what we can to control it. Up to this point, you'd think we'd all be experts in finding ways to manage stress and anxiety, but we all need a bit of help, not only for ourselves, but each other. Consider the following tips in helping manage areas you have control over to improve your mental and physical well-being. Monitor how much news you consume. Negative stories and drama draw higher ratings and thus are more likely to be fed to captive audiences. It's easy to be drawn in by catchy headlines and breaking news stories, but you've got to set limits on how much time you spend wrapped up in watching television and checking social media. Make an effort to reduce your screen time. Set a goal and stick with it. Most importantly, force yourself to shut it all down at least 2 hours before you go to bed. Instead, go outside and watch a sunset. Take a walk and just unplug. You'll likely find yourself sleeping better, awaking more refreshed and being far more productive the following day. Set boundaries in discussing politics with co-workers, family, and friends. Many relationships have met dire ends due to heated political debates, and it's rather unfortunate that we don't realize a mutual respect to agree to disagree is simply all it takes to place friendships over heartaches. If politics is a subject matter that you know is a powder keg waiting to happen, and you truly value existing friendships, set boundaries with those you hold dear and establish ground rules when discussing such topics. You may just need to avoid them altogether. Lastly, make sure you take time for self-care. You and only you can truly care for yourself. Make time to block off segments in your day to engage in activities focused on you and you alone. This can be prayer or meditation time in reflecting ways to improve yourself as a human being in serving others. It should also be time focused on exercise to channel nervous energy into something productive, such as your physical health. Spend 30 minutes to an hour each day engaging in physical activity to clear your mind, body, and soul. 2020 has been a dumpster fire as it is. Don't let the stress, anxiety, or even heartache get the better of you. Simply put, control the things you can change and don't waste your time or energy on the things you can't. Instead, focus on your own well-being and taking care of what matters most, you. Hospital food service workers impact community. OA News at OAOA.com. Food service workers at hospitals may escape people's notice, but they provide a necessary benefit for patients and staff members. David Scaglione, Assistant Director of Dietary, and Cynthia Villarreal, Party Coordinator, have been at Odessa Regional Medical Center for 16 years each. They are among 20 dietary workers on staff. In part because of fewer hospital patients, Scaglione said he would normally have about 28 staff members, but now has approximately 20. Scaglione and Villarreal said the job has changed with the advent of COVID-19. We're being more cautious with sanitation and cleanliness, wearing masks, training our staff, Scaglione said. But many of these things are what they would do normally. Dietary provides meals to patients and staff, and when they would have events, Villarreal takes care of that. Number one is always patient care, and that has not changed, Scaglione said. Food service has changed to serving people instead of people going through a buffet or salad line. It's not open to the public, it's more sanitary, Scaglione said. He added that he thinks they will keep the precautions in place even after COVID abates. Nothing's really changed patient-wise. They still get fed, obviously. Our COVID patients are in isolation, so we do not go in there and feed them, but we do provide meals to them. It's just the nurse gives it to them because it's an isolation patient, Scaglione said. He noted that he has a great team, and everyone has really stepped up and done what was needed to be done to make sure patients and staff were taken care of or fed, both. There isn't a lot of turnover in the dietary staff. Scaglione said he has a lot of people with 20 or 30 years of experience. We have great retention. It's a great company to work for, he said, of Steward Health, which owns ORMC. Before coming to ORMC, Scaglione worked mostly at country clubs and hotels. He last worked in Fort Lauderdale. Villarreal said because the hospital has not had functions since COVID-19 hit, she has been making meals for Meals on Wheels, along with Jennifer Maldonado. They make 575 meals a day. I just want to be able to help out the hospital, help out my bosses, Villarreal said. She added that she enjoys working with nice, friendly people at the hospital. I get along with everybody, Villarreal said. Originally from Big Spring, Villarreal said she has worked for nursing homes, fast food restaurants, and the state hospital in Big Spring. Both enjoy providing meals for other people. We're feeding people that are down, they're in the hospital, they're scared, they're sick, and if we can put a smile on their face by giving them food instead of a needle or a shot or medicine, I think that's what keeps me going and gives me a good day, Scaglione said. You can make people happy through food. Master Gardeners. Winter weather plants add color during the colder months. By Debbie Rowland, Master Gardener. The first freeze is behind us. Leaves are falling and plants are going to sleep for the winter. A big change from this time last week. The birds are flying in and out of my plants as they lose their leaves and flowers. Just a reminder not to cut back too soon. The birds and other wildlife use these plants as shelter from the winter temperatures. The color is gone from my beds, and in my search for a winter replacement, I ran across some hopeful prospects. Following is a list of flowers that will grow in our zone. We are either zone 7B or 8A, depending on which chart you are looking at. Ornamental kale and cabbage. These plants come in shades of rose, cream, and purple, and the color seems to get brighter as the temperature grows cold. Now is the time to plant these. Leucojum, also known as spring snowflake. That may be pronounced leucojum. This is a bulb that blooms white and is a great asset to beds because the flower hangs and looks like a bell. The bulb begins to show itself while it is still cold outside. English primrose. This is zoned from 2 to 8, so we are on the edge of using this plant. Unlike other primroses, English primrose will start showing its flowers of blue, white, pink, yellow, orange, and red during winter. Plant in shade for much-needed color. Viola. You will know these flowers when you see them because they look like a tiny face. They do fine in a light frost or a warmer microclimate in your yard. They are listed as an annual but do drop seeds that may come back in the spring. Camellia. This is actually a shrub which has fragrant flowers that look like roses. Since they smell so good, it is a great addition to a walkway. They bloom during the holidays and early spring. Winterberry. This one is also a shrub, but this one is deciduous, meaning it loses its leaves, but the bright red berries make up for it. You'll need a male plant nearby to get the berries. Talk to a local nursery, to get the right plant for you. Winter jasmine. A shrub that has long arching branches loaded with yellow flowers in late winter. My parents had this plant on the north side of their house in Midland when I was growing up. The last time I drove by, I noticed that the plant is still alive and well, so it is at least 55 years old. For more information, call the AgriLife office at 498-4071 in Odessa, or at 686-4700 in Midland, or visit aggiehorticulture.tamu.edu or westtexasgardening.org. Protect Your Plants from Freeze Damage by Jeanette Castagnon. Freeze damage occurs when the water inside a plant freezes and causes ice crystals to form that pierce the cell walls of the plant. When the temperature warms up, the cells leak out their fluids as they die and turn to mush. Freeze damage shows up as dark, water-soaked tissues, which then turn black to brown and dry up. We can try and protect our plants from freeze damage by covering them or bringing them inside during the nighttime. Try and keep an eye on overnight temperature to plan these practices. You can cover your plants with sheets, blankets, plastic, and row covers. You can add heat with a mechanic's light. If you secure the plant under the blanket with the plants, this will help provide some extra warmth. Be careful when doing this to avoid any electrical fires. Also, be mindful and do not place the lights too close to the plant tissue, because they can suffer damage. Plants that are in containers do not have good insulation in their pots. To help the roots during this time, it is important to bring them inside. If you cannot bring them inside for some reason, you can also mask the containers close together on a protected side of the home or another structure. Adding a blanket or a tarp will also help. If you notice dark, damp plant tissue in the upcoming weeks, it could be damaged from the below-freezing temperatures we have been receiving. For more information, call the AgriLife office at 498-4071 in Odessa or at 686-4700 in Midland. Email Jeanette, J-E-A-N-E-T-T-E, dot Castagnon, C-A-S-T-A-N-O-N, at ag.tamu.edu, or visit aggie-horticulture.tamu.edu, or westtexasgardening.org. Jeanette Castagnon. Castagnon is a horticulturist with Texas AgriLife Extension Service. She can be reached at 686-4700 or by email at jeanette.castagnon@ag.tamu.edu. Pets of the Week. Rusty, a 3-year-old male terrier mix, needs to be adopted into a good home. Patches, a 6-week-old female kitten, needs to be adopted into a good home. To adopt Patches or any of the other pets at the Humane Society of Odessa, stop by 7012 Mockingbird Lane, call 381-5503, visit www.odessahumanesociety.org, or leave a message at facebook.com/Humane Society of Odessa/. The Humane Society of Odessa is a no-kill pet adoption shelter, and all their pets require spay-neuter contract along with an adoption application. Adoption fees for pets start at $50. Photos courtesy of Odessa Humane Society.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Saturday, November 7th, 2020. OC proves a second family for student by Ruth Campbell. When she needed it most, Odessa College rallied around Ariadne Granado to keep her on track to earn an associate degree in early childhood education. Granado, who is the academic partnerships coordinator at OC, expects to graduate in December, plans to go on to University of Texas Permian Basin and take some mass communications classes at OC. Ultimately, Granado plans to become a kindergarten teacher. But she couldn't have gotten this far without the Student Success Scholarship. It is one of 62 scholarships offered by the Odessa College Foundation. Granado has been a Student Success recipient for 2 years. It was a complete blessing, honestly. My family and I, we were in a pretty bad predicament, and I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to even attend classes anymore, she said. I remember William Council, who was my advisor at the time. He took me downstairs to the foundation office, and Leslie Chen, who used to work here, they were able to give me the scholarship. Thankfully, I'm able to take my classes, and I was a recipient the second year, and because of the scholarship, I'm able to say I'm graduating this year. It wouldn't have been possible if it hadn't been for the scholarship, Granado said. Executive Director of Institutional Advancement Jackie Gore said OC employees and the community contribute to the fund. We do have an Odessa College employee campaign each year. This year, 100% of the Odessa College employees made a contribution, up from 99% in 2019. It's a long-standing tradition here at Odessa College for all employees to support the students, Gore said. Granado said as soon as she saw the email about the campaign, she had to give back herself. She added that chipping in herself hit home. I remember coming downstairs and talking to Jackie and telling her my story. I was like, I have to give back. There's no way I'm going to say no to giving back because this scholarship helped me achieve my dream, and it's truly helping so many students achieve their dreams as well, Granado said. In about 2017-18, she said her family had gotten evicted from where they lived, and her now late grandmother had broken her hip. We were kind of scrambling around, Granado said. We didn't know what we were going to do, and I remember going to my parents and telling them, I'll drop my class if this helps, because their belief is I don't have to work when I was a student here. But it didn't come to that, and OC has become a second family. The way OC came together for me, I will say there's no community college like this, because they truly care about their students' success, Granato said. That's why I say OC's my home, and I can't see myself being anywhere else, she said. Associate Professor of Anatomy and Physiology Chet Cooper contributes to the scholarship as well. I went to OHS, and back in the day, they used to have a scholarship called the Permian Honors Scholarship or something similar to that. So I was able to attend OC for free when I graduated, Cooper said. That was such a huge benefit into my family. Cooper said he's been donating since he became a faculty member at OC in 1997. He started as an adjunct but became full-time soon afterward. Cooper noted that the scholarships can help determine whether a student is able to attend college or not attend college. That's just really close to my heart. Anything that is not just faculty, but any of us in education can do to help people get their start in life, to me, it's just very worthwhile, Cooper said. He added that OC has been on the path for a while of helping employees and faculty understand how important it is that students in need are able to have access to scholarships. That's what I love about being at OC at this point in time in history, is that everyone who works here really gives back in some way, Cooper said. Some give more, some don't give as much, but there are multiple pathways for people to give back to the community and to our students. He added that the college food bank also has been a help to students and OC employees. Director of Media Relations Sherry Dalton said the Student Success Scholarship catches those students whose parents' income might be too high, or the student's income might be too high to qualify for a Pell Grant. But it's still not enough to pay for college. Then this is the one that catches a lot of those, and there are a lot who would fall in that crack, Dalton said. That was one of the things they identified that was so important about this scholarship, was helping those students who couldn't get the help otherwise. Granato said it was difficult to accept help because she was always kind of apprehensive about reaching out and felt that family business should stay in the family. I've always been independent when it comes to things like that. It was really, truly inspiring for me to say, okay, you need to take a step and say, this is what's going on. I didn't want to stop going to school. I'd come so far, and I just didn't want to give up like that, Granato said. The Student Success Scholarship is now year-round starting this year. When a student is awarded in the fall, as long as they continue to keep a minimum 2.5 GPA, they can keep the scholarship through the spring. The scholarships vary based on the number of hours the student is enrolled in, so they need to have a minimum 2.5 GPA and a minimum of 6 hours. Enrolled for 6 hours. The students who are taking 6 to 8 hours can get an $800 scholarship. Students taking 9 to 11 hours, $1,000 scholarship, and 12 or more hours for the semester, a $1,300 scholarship, Gore said. Prior to this academic year, students had to apply every semester, but starting this academic year, students apply once a year. OC does offer a scholarship for the summer. For the last 2 summers, we have had a summer school scholarship through the Student Success Scholarship Fund, thanks to Don and Tanya Wood, Gore said. We have several different majors that have a year-round program, specifically in health sciences, and that has allowed these students to continue on with their classes and stay on track, she added. The Student Success Scholarship campaign will run through the end of December. The goal is to raise $400,000. We have currently raised $297,994. So we still have $103,336 to raise to reach our goal, Gore said. In the 2019-20 academic year, there were 354 scholarships distributed from the Student Success Scholarship Fund. The foundation has other scholarships in addition to the Student Success that are endowed scholarships. So we give scholarships out of that fund as well, Gore said. Students may qualify for Student Success and endowed scholarships. She noted that starting in the spring of 2020, the scholarship coordinator's office moved to financial aid so students can have a one-stop shop. All total last year, $870,623 in scholarships were distributed. That's including the Student Success Scholarship, and that comes to 1,030 scholarships total in the 1920 academic year, Gore said. To supplement the Student Success Scholarship, the college is raising funds by selling OC masks. There are four different designs, and they are $10 each. All of the proceeds go to the Student Success Scholarship Fund. Because of the economy and the pandemic, Gore said more students are requesting scholarship assistance. Odessa College's enrollment has continued to increase, and so with the downturn in the economy, students have turned to Odessa College to either shift to a different profession or come to college for the first time. We have a number of students transferring here from four-year universities as well, and we can attribute that to what's going on with COVID. So yes, we have more students who are needing this assistance now more than ever.
Thank you for joining us for this week's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Lifestyle sections. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite.
Next on Recording Library of West Texas Radio, Far West Texas News, followed by the Midland Reporter Telegram and Odessa American at 8. Now airing on the Noon Book Hour, we continue our Thanksgiving series with Turkey Day Murder by Leslie Meyer. Tinker's Cove, Maine has a long history of Thanksgiving festivities, from visits with Tom Tom Turkey to the annual Warriors High School football game and Lucy Stone's impressive pumpkin pie. But this year, someone has added murder to the menu, and Lucy intends to discover who left Metinicut Indian activist Kurt Nolan dead with an ancient war club next to his head. The list of suspects isn't brief. Nolan had a habit of disagreeing with just about everybody. Between fixing dinner for 12 and keeping her four kids from tearing each other limb from limb, Lucy has a pretty full plate already. So what's a little investigation? But if she's not careful, she may find herself served up as a last-minute course. Stone cold dead with all the trimmings. Turkey Day Murder by Leslie Meyer. Weekdays at noon and 2 a.m. on Recording Library of West Texas Radio.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 50 and mostly cloudy. Mostly cloudy tonight with a low in the low 50s. Then, tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a high in the upper 70s. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a low in the low 50s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
Coronavirus updates, weekdays at 1.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas. It's 7 a.m.
Welcome to this week's edition of Far West Texas. Readings from the Big Bend Sentinel, the Monahans News, and the Fort Stockton Pioneer, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Melanie, and I'm reading the Big Bend Sentinel on November 12th, 2020. State data understates coronavirus threat in Alpine.